Wing TV with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, May 30th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to our special Memorial Day edition of Wing TV. Well, folks, great news today. The French reject the EU Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
This is fantastic news, and it goes to show that people actually can still make a difference in their lives. It reminds me of the people of Kyrgyzstan a few months ago. You remember when they barreled into the embassies and they overthrew the government, overthrew the leaders, they were throwing computers out the windows, and they basically got rid of the government. Well, the French today said they're not going to tolerate this new constitution that places the European super state over their own jobs or over their environment.
Right. They actually voted against their old European convictions and traditions, voted the logical way rather than with their hearts.
And what this is it's a severe blow now to the global elite.
To Chirac.
Right, and to Jacques Chirac, and also to their progress that they want to make in the creation of this European super state.
What's interesting, too, is France is one of the founding members of the European Union, and so this vote, this French vote on the 29th, came 3 days before facing another hostile reception in the Netherlands. The Dutch country is also one of the founding members of the EU,
mm-hmm.
and so if these two vote no against it, which France already has, that says a lot to the remaining countries that are yet to vote.
Yeah, others are to follow, but it only takes one no vote
mm-hmm.
to shoot down the entire constitution.
They have to all ratify it for it to go into effect.
Yeah.
So,
and actually, there was a 70% voter turnout, and the final tally came 55 no, 45 yes. So to the people of France, I know Americans have seen not eye to eye with them quite a bit in the last few years, but the people of France made great strides today in shutting down this global elitism. So
a yes vote coupled with a Dutch yes vote would have given this EU constitution unstoppable momentum.
Right.
And so now they've pretty much stalled it out, and we just applaud the French.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to take a couple more years now for the Bilderbergs and their likes to get this train back on track. So, good to them.
The French decided the EU Constitution posed a threat to their sovereignty and to their cherished way of life. So,
and they didn't want big business over their
mm-hmm.
sovereignty. Very good for them. Now, there's also another bit of good news. Yesterday, in the Sunday edition of the New York Times, there was a full-page ad against AIPAC. Now, anybody that follows Washington insiders inside the Beltway knows that AIPAC is one of the most powerful lobbies in that city, and this was paid for by the Council for the National Interest Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the signers were former senators, Pete McCloskey from California and Paul Finley from Indiana,
Illinois.
And both of these individuals were railroaded out of the Senate years ago by the pro-Israeli lobby.
They're also involved with a former senator named James Aberesh from, I believe it's California, a Democrat
mm-hmm.
from California. And so these three gentlemen put this full-page anti-AIPAC ad in the New York Times. And it may be the first ever anti-AIPAC ad to run in a mainstream-controlled newspaper in this country.
Yeah. Now, we're going to go over a few of the things that were contained in the content of this ad. The first overwhelming thing was that they say that they don't want this overwhelming influence by right-wing Israelis
mm-hmm.
affecting or influencing United States governmental foreign policy in the Mideast. That's the crux of what they're saying, and we couldn't agree more with
them. They say the Israeli lobby's out of control in this country, and it shuts down any rational discussion or debate about the actions of the Israeli government.
Right.
And it's undermining Mideast policy. It's undermining the formation of good Mideast policy.
Right. And that's a very important point. Let's repeat it again. It shuts down any rational debate or discussion of its actions. Now, we've been talking a lot about that in the last few weeks here on Wing TV, about certain individuals in the mainstream media and also the alternative media that refuse to answer for their actions. And that's what this foundation, this group says that Israel does. They refuse to answer for their actions. Think about that, folks.
They point out that three past heads of Israel's security service have said that the actions of Israel are self-destructive, and they also point out the American people have not ever heard this.
Right. Also, they show how the Israeli lobby intimidates editors and others in the media.
Right. And the agenda of AIPAC and the Israeli lobby has never been the agenda of America in the Middle East.
Right. What they say is that what's good for Israel isn't necessarily what is good for America. We couldn't agree with that more.
Right. They go on to say that national security in our country has been breached and continues to be so, even almost up to this day.
Right. And that the AIPAC agenda and Israel's agenda isn't the agenda that's in America's best interest.
And they go about saying that Israel should stop spying on America,
right.
That Israel is still spying on America, and the American people need to know this. I'm kind of curious as to why the New York Times would even run this, except that the size of that ad alone probably brought them in a lot of advertising dollars.
Yeah, well, their advertising revenue has been plummeting for years now, as it has been for all American newspapers. And when they say, when they talk about AIPAC's agendas and Israel's agenda, they even go so far as to say that this is undermining America's interests. Not only that they're just not in sync, but it's undermining America. And as Lisa said, they put something that said, Israel, stop spying on America. They had this in bold capital letters in the ad, Israel, stop spying on America. Now, before you go on, isn't Israel supposed to be America, or at least one of America's greatest allies?
Well, that's what we're supposed to believe, but they're not.
But why would an ally then spy on its own friend, especially one that gives it $10 billion a year?
Maybe we should ask Ariel Sharon then.
Yeah.
The ad also calls for people to join in, for the public to join this campaign against the Israeli lobby and especially AIPAC to contain or constrain these Israeli lobbies. And so I have some information here, and this also goes for the Christian Zionists who aren't standing up against these lobbies.
Right. And a good example, just to touch one more time on the spying element, is the spy that did probably the most damage to this country's security ever was Jonathan Pollard. He was spying for who? Israel, of course. And just within the last few months, AIPAC has undergone another spy scandal where a man named Larry Franklin was actually arrested along with a couple of other of his associates that belonged to AIPAC. AIPAC was vehemently standing up against this investigation first until Franklin was arrested. Then they hung him out to dry and pretty much didn't want anything to do with him. But again, why is Israel over and over and over again spying on our country?
They say that the Israeli lobbies are promoting the Israeli government's agenda, even going so far as to use American classified information to do so. And so what they want to do is they want to get this legislation in action that will apply to all lobbies working on behalf of foreign governments.
Right.
And they want to clarify that with the American people, that these lobbies are not working for America's best interests, but rather for the best interests of the foreign governments they support.
Yeah. And last but not least on this subject, this group headed by Pete McCloskey and Paul Finley even went so far as to say that they want AIPAC to be registered as an agent of a foreign government.
And now, they want all contributors to be publicly listed, too, which is good.
Yeah, and AIPAC is supposedly an American organization, right? But they want it to be registered as an agent of a foreign government of Israel. So, folks, we have some infestation into the corridors of the Beltway of our political leaders that is so abysmal that, thank God, these two individuals and also the people in their foundation stood up, spent some of their money, and said, we're not going to tolerate what's going on anymore, and we couldn't commend them more.
The only thing is, they should have done this years ago when they were in the Congress and the Senate.
Oh, they
did. Instead, they waited. Well, they could have maybe been a little bit more vociferous back then, because they waited till after they got out of office before putting this big full-page ad in.
Well, Paul Finley, he wrote a book, and actually it's one of the most influential books we have in our library here. It's called They Dare to Speak Out, and they list all the people then have been railroaded out of Congress or out of the media or other positions because they dared to speak
right.
out. And Finley was one of the most prominent members, and even though he was a Republican, he was just abandoned by his party because he said, well, wait a second, maybe both sides of this Israeli-Palestinian conflict aren't being reported accurately. So he made a couple trips over to the Mideast, mm-hmm. came back, reported on what he saw, and the Israeli lobby was outraged to such an extent that they did everything in their power to say he's next, and boom, he was out, just like that.
It'd be interesting to see what the congressional and Senate response is to this New York Times ad.
Yeah, well, we hope there is some kind of response,
yeah.
and some people wake up to this because it is so one-sided in this country that it's incredible. Now, moving on, we want to tell you about a movie that we watched a couple nights ago. And people say, who cares, it's just a movie. But there was a lot of messages in it that I think relate to our modern day here and what's going on politically in the world. This movie was called The Emperor's Club. And if you read the reviews, what would you think?
I'd say they were mixed.
Yeah.
A lot of people compared it to Dead Poets Society.
Right.
We really rather enjoyed the movie.
Oh,
we felt like it had important things to say.
Right. And the characters in it, even though... Especially the professor, who is the main character, who's played by...
Kevin Kline.
By Kevin Kline, who's what was that other movie he was in?
Life as a House.
Yeah, a fantastic
mm-hmm.
movie. So, the last two movies we've seen him in, he's been astounding. But it was him as the head of... Or a professor at this... Well, I guess it would be a male...
Boys' school.
A boys' boarding school. Very upper class, upper crust. And everything's going good until there's this new student, who's the son of a senator... His name is Sedgwick Bell. And when they asked this actor who played it how he studied for his role to be, you know, this sleazy son of a senator, he said he started watching C-SPAN
and
CNN. And they said, why did you do that? And he says, because I wanted to see how these immoral people acted.
The actor was Emil Hirsch.
Yeah. And he actually learned from watching real senators on how to be this sleazy...
Sleazeball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... the best line from the movie comes from Kevin Kline when he's talking to this kid, Sedgwick Bell, and he says that a man's character is his fate. And how better could it be summed up than that?
Yeah. Ask yourself, does your character determine your fate?
Yeah. And the people now that you're listening to, not only on the mainstream media, but also in the alternative media, a man's character determines his fate.
Also, it went into the dilemma that arises when you have virtue and morals and ethics clashing with dog-eat-dog, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there mentality.
Yeah. And even though Kevin Kline played the protagonist, of course, he was the hero of the story, the main character, he was faulted in many, many ways. And that's what I liked about the movie is that they didn't portray him as just, mm-hmm. you know, above fault. And I wanted to go over a couple of these, Lisa, because the first time I noticed it, and I pointed out, was when this kid came into the classroom and he became very disruptive right away, didn't he?
Right, he was a clown.
And instead of Kevin Kline coming and just putting a hammer down on him, he kind of let him go, didn't he? He gave him, in my opinion anyways, too much leeway.
Kevin Kline, in the movie, had deep convictions, but he fell short of following through
right.
on what he truly believed in. And so he let this kid slide without consequence time and time again, even though he was really torn and conflicted and troubled by doing so.
And see, this is important, what Lisa brought up, because even though we might feel strongly about something, it doesn't really matter unless we act upon it, does it?
Right. So, say we like someone very much. If we continue to let them slide when they commit wrongdoing, and we don't give them a consequence, and we don't make them accountable, and make them own what they did,
they'll just keep repeating their negative or bad
that
behavior.
That will end up determining their fate. They will never, ever progress.
Right. And so it got so bad with this kid that Kevin Kline actually went to Washington, D.C. and met with his father, the senator.
Right.
And so he's sitting in there, and the senator is just a typical, just full of himself, bureaucrat, you know, high and mighty. And finally, He says, well, what do you teach these boys in your class anyways? He had kind of a southern accent. And he says, well, we learn about Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. We talk about things like truth.
Greek and Roman civilization.
Yeah, truth and justice and democracy. These mm-hmm. very vital concepts. And the senator says, well, what good does that really do for
Why
us?
Why is it important to learn about the past?
Yeah. Or these
what bearing does it have? Right.
You know, and so right then, Kevin Kline didn't stand up again. Because he said, I want to shape your son's character. And the senator says, you teach him mathematics and his ABCs, you let me shape his character. And we saw what kind of character was shaped in this kid, the senator's son,
right.
because he had no morals whatsoever.
I wonder how often teachers feel as though they've failed their students nowadays,
right.
given the current social climate and the way schools are nowadays.
Yeah. So then the next fault Kevin Kline had was he finally turned this kid around. And there was a contest at the end, so he changes the kid's grade. He alters the kid's grade so he can get in this contest. Again, it was, you know, altering something that shouldn't be altered. We've talked a lot about that on this show. Now, the next thing is the kid gets in this contest, and Kevin Kline is the moderator. Well, he finds out that the kid is cheating in the contest. Now, there's a whole audience of all the high rollers, including the senator himself, watching his kid. Well, instead of pointing out or exposing this kid as a cheater, he doesn't do that. And I think he should have exposed him right there to everybody.
And he wanted to,
yeah.
but he was told by his boss to just not say anything, let the kid slide
yeah.
because of who he was.
Now think about that. Oh, well, that's just this kid being this kid. We can't say anything, though. Just let the bad behavior
right.
continue. Are you seeing where this
yeah.
goes?
Do you see the parallel between this movie
and what, we
and what it says and Alex Jones?
Right.
And Jeff Rentz?
All of these things just coincide so perfectly. And finally then, years later, the kid grows up, he becomes this multi-millionaire, mm-hmm. and he wants to have another contest because even though he was cheating, the professor tricked him and he lost. So he brings everybody back together, they have this contest again, and guess what he does again?
He cheats.
He has a little earpiece in his thing. In
like
his
Bush.
Ear. Yeah, just like George Bush. And instead of exposing him again, Kevin Kline let him slide. And it ends up that this guy, this kid that's grown up now, is going to run to become a senator. So he could have exposed him right there and put the kibosh on
right.
his campaign. But again,
but he never gave the kid a consequence
right.
for his wrongdoing.
Yeah, and that's so vital. So anyway, he sees him in the bathroom. And this is towards the end of the movie. And he tells him, you know, the kid says, why didn't you expose me? He says, that's not my job to do. We thought it was his job to do it. But he said, I'm going to give you one last speech. He says, you have no morals. You have no honor. You have no sense of truth whatsoever. And this soon-to-be senator says, who gives a shit about those things? Where's that going to get me? Just like his father. Mm-hmm. So, because none of these bad behaviors
yeah,
were exposed.
He said that those virtues, those characteristics don't count in the real world.
Yeah. So, because nobody exposed this kid's bad behavior, it just repeated mm-hmm. and repeated and repeated. Does this mean anything?
He didn't learn because he was never made to suffer a consequence.
Right. Alex Jones, Jeff Rentz, everybody else that is engaging in very wrong behavior, if they're not made to answer for their actions, their repeat behavior is going to repeat again. So the name of the movie is called The Emperor's Club. Some of the critics didn't like it. We thought it was fantastic.
Yes.
And it's well worth a watch. Now, one last thing, Lisa. Do you have mm-hmm. anything else on your that you wanted to bring up?
Well, I had some numbers here for the casualties in the war.
Okay,
you have something.
No, go ahead.
Well,
this is fitting for Memorial Day.
We have 1,831 coalition troop deaths. Of those troops, 1,652 Americans have been killed. Those numbers may be higher as the death toll keeps spiraling upward every day. At least 12,630 troops have been wounded in action, according to the Pentagon. They don't count non-hostile
right.
deaths at the Pentagon.
So the numbers are higher.
If you go to iraqbodycount.net, you can see the tallies for the Iraq civilian body counts. 21,834 are the minimum. 24,776 is the maximum. And they don't count possible deaths, probable deaths, estimates.
Right.
They count actual reported deaths by hospitals, morgues, and the media. So that's why those numbers aren't as high as some you've seen, which are in the 100,000.
Exactly,
figures.
Yeah. Now, one last thing before we go today. We're gonna hit a carnival tonight, get some good carnival food, which is very excited.
The carnival
for.
Slop.
I was reading an article about vloggers. It was written by a guy that was saying that we have the mainstream media on the ropes right now. And I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if he was overshooting the bloggers' importance or not, but he says what they're doing is attacking the old guard and taking on the network company men. That part I do agree with. And he says that a lot of the people in the mainstream media are coming down on the bloggers now because they're not playing by the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And who made the rules?
Right.
They did.
Our friend Michael Langston, who was on the show Friday, has pointed out something important, too. He said that gatekeepers are the ones that are opposed to getting the truth out.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, they're opposed to getting the truth out. They'd rather shut the truth inside the gates. And so the mainstream media is a classic example of that. But then there's certain elements of the alternative media, like Alex Jones and Jeff Rentz, doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And so when some people say there are no gatekeepers, that's a falsity.
Yeah, there certainly are.
Because we have some prime examples of gatekeepers among us.
And see, that's why people get mad at us, because we're not playing by the rules, because they want everything in the mainstream and the upper corridors of the alternative media. They want everything to be controlled by fear and their power rules.
Mm-hmm.
And
we say we have to demand that truth and integrity go hand in hand with media, that they must count in the real world.
Yeah.
We live in the real world.
They want us to just follow along like sheep. Be quiet. Don't question them. Don't call them on anything.
Don't point out their wrongdoing.
Right. And bow at their altar. And essentially what you're saying is, let us make the decisions.
Let us do whatever we want.
We'll do your thinking for you, and you just, here, we'll pat you on the head, and you stay nice and quiet, and we'll treat you just like the mainstream media treats their people.
Right. Well, folks, only we'll call ourselves patriots.
Yeah. Well, folks, we don't treat you like that.
No.
We want you to have the truth. We want you to see through the veil and the illusion. And the last thing this blogger says was that the mainstream media is getting desperate. They're getting scared. And I can say the same thing for the alternative media, because the more heat we bring on them, the more desperate and more scared they get, because they know that people are seeing through them. And the emails we get are more and more people are saying, thank you so much. You're opening our eyes, because these people are bamboozling us.
Right. And while some of you still don't want to hold them to their own words and give them a consequence, many of you do.
Yeah.
And that's a really positive sign.
And if you watch this movie, The Emperor's Club, or even a better movie, it's called An Enemy of the People, you'll see that the people that stand up are the ones that make a difference in the world. So, folks, enjoy your Memorial Day. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to do a show on the people in the alternative media that are good. We've talked a lot about the ones that aren't. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the ones that are doing good, that aren't controlled, and that are independent. So we'll see you then. Keep your eyes open. There's a lot going on.
See ya.